Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a pretty good show lined up for today. We're going to start off talking about the economic situation in China, which after a blistering start in 1978 has slowed down to a very, very difficult time for them right now. From there, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the meeting between Putin and Kim Jong-un. Then we're going to switch over and talk about the meeting between Biden, Japan, and South Korea. And then, Jimmy, how would you like to wrap it up?
Well, I think we ought to talk. I mean, there's a couple of things out there that I think are important. We could wrap it up in politics. It's certainly the White House getting involved with trying to influence the media on covering up the Biden family as the impeachment inquiry goes forward. And then, you know, the kind of the tide is turning with the media as you get Washington Post writers like David Ignatius, New York Times, Ross Douthat, that they're actually calling for Biden to withdraw. Those are powerful statements.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we talked to China here. Let's talk a little bit about this, a little bit about our own inflation and the numbers that came out this week.
Not real good. Also, I'd like to just touch on the fact of Romney's comment about a couple of guys who should not be in the race for president of the United States because of their ages. One is Trump, and of course, one is Biden. Just get an opinion on that. I know we've had some comments about Trump and his age, and that's the reason I'd like to touch on that, Jimmy.
Sure, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and roll into China here and talk a little bit about the problems they're facing.
China, as all of our listeners are aware, back in 1978 was the darling of the world economy. They could do no wrong, and since then, primarily because of Kim Jong-un's insistence on a couple of deals, China is not doing very, very well. The Economist did a major story on that in the most recent edition, and they brought up the fact that in terms of growth, China is at around 3.1% annually right now, and we, they claim, allegedly, supposedly, are at about 5.9% right now. And the thing I find interesting about that 5.9%, Jim, is those are the numbers from the Atlanta Fed, and every single economist really laughs when he hears those numbers now.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible. I think you said the leadership there in China, Kim Jong-un, but I'm sure you meant Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping's policies have kind of put them in a difficult situation. Actually, the entire Communist Party's policies, they have a very big problem with the real estate market right now. That's going to carry a tremendous amount of a debt load because of the government spending, as they were trying to move people from the outlying areas in forced urbanization, almost forced urbanization.
Right.
Not quite as dramatic as it was during the Soviet Union era in Soviet Russia, where they forced, you know, people into the cities and really caused some major problems. But it is significantly causing problems because they overbuilt. And a lot of it has to do with the corruption involved in the developers, the builders, and party members that actually get these subsidized programs through the CCPs, through the communist governments, and then build these massive projects with no market understanding of who's going to fill the need there. And I think their command-controlled political system is in direct conflict with an open and free market. That makes it very problematic for the economy to work. And of course, you know, you've got a lot of other issues. You've got demographic issues with an aging workforce, and of course the one child policy, which really shifted towards mostly male, and those are now older. They're getting into their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that one child policy. And I think those problems are very significant for China. But the biggest problem with China right now is...
I'd say for China.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, for China, in China, I would say the biggest problem is that many industries had sacrificed some of their programs. They moved to, in order to move manufacturing, in order to get the cheap labor that was very efficient in China, they were willing to do a lot with the Chinese Communist Party in order to sacrifice their own, you know, whatever principles, policies, if you will, values, morals. And what they're finding out is there's big pushback with some of that. And a lot of companies do not see the benefit of the relationship with the centralized authorities as long-term beneficially for their growth of their companies. Because in fact, in many cases, you've seen where the Communist Party has come in and forced a takeover through their own government-linked corporate leadership to take over production from foreign-owned areas within the economy. And that's very problematic. So what you're seeing is an exit of China from capital, an exit from foreign investment, and an exit from a dependence on their manufacturing facility. And that, combine that with the other problems that they have, the corruption, the intimidation, the political cronyism that's required to do work there, the demographics, and then, of course, the massive subsidies to these real estate programs and other development programs, the Chinese are going to have a very difficult time.
Well, it's interesting, but China has done the same, taken the same action pretty much of late that the United States builders have taken, and that is in terms of new housing. U.S. builders are actually selling the houses before they are completed, and exactly the same thing is happening in mainland China right now, only apparently the Chinese builders are not nearly as careful as the American builders were in that action, Jim.
Well, they're selling, but they're selling to government programs and subsidized housing. And that actually is very problematic because they're not actually filling. There are major urban areas that have had brand new apartments and developments that are completely empty.
Right.
Huge swaths of development. And I think I talked recently about some of the videos, the subsidized programs for EVs, for electrical vehicles there.
Right.
There's really tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of vehicles that are not used because of the subsidy programs,
right,
which cause problems. And another example is bicycles. And I would recommend anybody look up subsidized bicycle programs in China and EV programs and look at some of the videos on these massive stockpiles of basically corrupt production on different manufacturing facilities in order to get the subsidies, but then there's no market for them. And that's the same thing with the real estate market. There's not enough people.
Yeah, Jimmy, isn't it funny how one country will follow another country in terms of their economic actions? They'll take economic actions that didn't work for one country, and they'll try to parrot those actions, and they do it, and there's a huge mistake, because that really is something in terms of the housing industry and the EV industry, and I suppose in China also the bicycle industry. Jim, I'd like you to wrap this up. We have approximately 30 seconds left, and then we go on to the next segment.
Yeah, I think we just need to really take a hard look at investment in China, and at the same time look at the over expenditures their government has, and the same thing that we're doing right now,
right,
increasing debt. And let's talk in the next segment a little bit about our own inflation and the new numbers with core inflation and CPI and what the impact is.
Ladies and gentlemen, stick around for a couple of minutes. We had a commercial break. We'll be right back.